Welcome to a special edition of the Orange Chair Podcast. If you have listened to our podcast before, you've not heard my voice, but you may have heard my name mentioned at the end during the credits. I'm Clay Tooten, VP of Marketing at Keymark and producer of the Orange Chair Podcast. We wanted to do something different and fun to honor this time of year. So today's program blends elements of science fiction, automation, some nostalgia, and of course, the holiday spirit. So whether you're on your way to work, you're traveling home for the holidays, or just gathered around a Christmas fire, we hope you find some time to enjoy the holiday season with this story. I'll Be Home for Christmas, a Keymark tale. So without further ado,
I'll Be Home for Christmas, a Keymark tale. We begin in the vast depths of cold and lonely outer space, where a single spaceship hurls itself in a chaotic frenzy. The cruiser Liberty, a single-person scout vessel on a mission to chart the finer details of the stars above, barrel-rolled, tilted, ripped and tipped, jostling our hero, the little astronaut Private Markey, like an ice cube in the tin of an overzealous bartender.
"Zounds!"
Markey cried from behind the dented and dirty face shield of his Class 1 spacesuit. With great effort, Markey reached a gloved hand to the gravity controls, whiffing at invisible air as he continued to tumble in free float throughout the cabin. Finally, after a last desperate swipe, Markey's fingers gained purchase on the weathered red gravity latch, and he yanked hard. A metallic bell that would have awoken the deepest hypersleeper resounded throughout the cabin. As a robotic voice confirmed,
"Gravity stabilizing."
The little astronaut dropped to the floor with a hard thud. "Phew," he thought. "That was a close one." With feet firmly planted on the ground now, Markey dashed to the control panel of the topsy-turvy cruiser to activate the stabilizing thrusters. A nauseating rumble followed as the Liberty's jets activated and disengaged, steadying the ship. Then, all fell silent. Markey looked around the now steady cabin at the carnage the outside storm caused the inside of his ship. It was a sight reminiscent of his last day at the Academy, with volumes of paper reports thrown about in chaotic ways, though this time Markey wasn't celebrating. With the hardest of sighs, Markey began to pick up the heaps of disorganized reports, when suddenly, the Liberty's two-way radio spat out a slur of inarticulate speech.
"Cruiser Liberty, are you there?"
"Contact. The first he had had since the start of the storm." Markey slammed his fist onto the radio controls.
"This is the Liberty reporting,"
Markey said, sounding a little out of breath.
"Reporting loud and clear," said the voice.
It was the commander.
"We have your signal now. Are you all right?"
"Stirred but not shaken, sir,"
Markey said.
"Glad to hear it, son," said the commander. "That was a pretty bad storm. How's the ship?"
Markey tried to fix his voice to sound confident.
"She's steady now, sir. Some data loss, I reckon, but nothing a little more time above the clouds won't fix."
"That's too bad," said the commander. "Have you tried utilizing the new protocol?"
Markey shifted in his chair with some discomfort. A new protocol had been assigned to the Liberty, meant to eliminate all the pain points of the old days.
but Maki was a two-hands-on-the-flight-controls kind of explorer. And change, regardless of its intended outcome, scared him more than the uncalculable vastness of space.
No, not yet, sir, he said, finally. Use the tools, Private. That's what they're there for,
the commander commanded.
Yes, sir,
Marky said.
Nah, don't be too hard on yourself, son,
the commander continued.
Try to finish up your last reports and head on home.
Yes, sir.
And Private Marky.
Sir?
Merry Christmas,
the commander resounded. And then the line dropped. Marky took a sharp gasp.
Christmas,
he thought. The little astronaut whipped around in his swivel chair to face his calendar adorned with pictures of old computers. Sure enough, circled in a big red marker, December 24th.
Zounds!
Cried the little astronaut. Maki didn't want to miss Christmas. He couldn't. Grandmother Mickey would be back from the Great North with homemade pierogies and hand-knit sweaters, and his favorite niece, Susie, would be expecting a souvenir from her uncle's travels off-world. With home on his mind, Christmas in his heart, and piles of jostled paperwork before him, Maki was out of options, save for one. Initiate protocol hyperautomation and get back in time for Christmas. The change was immediate. In the instant, the little astronaut had pushed the big green button marked with a cartoon A and lightning bolt, the cruiser Liberty took on a new life. The ship's 3D fabricator, which could print any form out of any material in a matter of seconds, sputtered to life in a dizzying whir of mechanical arms. Maki raced from his swivel chair to see what was happening. A pleasant toast-is-ready chime caused the little astronaut to jump back as the glass fabricator doors opened, revealing a shiny, pressed spacesuit with intricate double-stitched seams and intriguing-looking gadgets. Maki pulled out the new suit along with a freshly fabricated and top-of-the-line space helmet. Maki put on his new outfit with ease and excitement, then ceremoniously folded his old Class 1 spacesuit and placed it neatly on the control panel. Then the little astronaut turned to face the pile of paper notes and place the updated helmet on his head. It lit from the inside, revealing a technological smorgasbord of dialogue screens and an intuitive menu. Then, to Marky's surprise, it spoke to him.
Welcome, Private Marky, to the hyperautomation protocol. A smart and satisfyingly accented voice began. I am the Andromeda Bot 5000, but you may call me Andrew. I will be your onboard companion throughout this experience. It is a pleasure to finally greet you. Where shall we begin?
Andrew?
Marky started, a bit thrown off.
Hi, I'm Well, I guess you know that already. I'm trying to make it back to Earth ASAP, but I have a few reports to finish and a mess of paper to clean up. Can you help with that?
Most certainly, Private, Andrew said. Let's start by taking care of all this paper.
Maki walked to the stack of papers strewn about the cabin as Andrew began lighting various screens within the helmet's visor.
Your new suit is equipped with optical character recognition technology, also called OCR,
Andrew said.
It can quickly and accurately capture your handwritten notes. Bring me a little closer, and I will demonstrate.
Maki grabbed a handful of documents. As he did, the words on the paper lit up and translated themselves to a digital display across his face shield.
Done, Andrew said. I've communicated that data back to home base, where our team of real humans will hand-validate the work in the off chance of recording errors. Let's finish up digitizing the rest of these sheets quickly, and then we can move on to bigger and better things.
In no small amount of disbelief, the little astronaut continued to grab sheets of handwritten notes, holding each piece delicately to his faceplate to capture and transmit the contents of each report. In mere minutes, Maki had fully digitized documents that would have previously taken him hours to hand type and a full round trip to Earth to deliver.
"Great job, Maki," said Andrew. "Now, I notice these reports all seem pretty similar in terms of the data they contained. Can you tell me a little bit more about what you're doing up here?"
"It's pretty simple," Maki said, shyly but proudly.
"I'm surveying the stars here in this moving nebula. You see, I'll assign each star an ID number and then record characteristics like temperature, size, and distance from our world. It's straightforward, but very repetitive and time-consuming."
"Done!"
Andrew interrupted.
"Excuse me,"
Maki said, shocked.
"It is done. Take a look outside."
The little astronaut stood on his tiptoes to peek out the blast window into the great unknown. Outside of the cruiser, deep space was lit up like a disco ball by lasers of red and green, flashing in the directions of surrounding stars.
"Maki, meet your team of RPA bots,"
Andrew said.
"What are they doing?"
"They're doing what you told them to do,"
Andrew said.
"Grabbing IDs and characteristics from the nebulous stars and feeding your suit with the data. Open your hand, please."
Maki opened his hand. There, floating in his palm, was a holographic document containing all of the data he had been working so long and monotonously to obtain.
"These brave little bots can be programmed to perform repeatable processes, like charting your stars,"
Andrew explained.
"They'll send all data directly to Command's cloud system, which can be accessed anywhere and anytime, directly from your suit. You can see some completed reports there in your hand."
Maki looked in bewilderment at the volumes of physical reports still burying the floor, and then at the completed reports floating conveniently in his palm.
"It's incredible,"
Maki said, still astounded.
"Yeah, isn't it something?"
Andrew said with admiration.
"Now I've got one more thing to show you. Maki, head on down to the ship's core, please."
Still feeling the pressure of the clock, Maki dashed down the hallway to a yellow-painted ladder leading to the lower levels of the Liberty. Having practiced the move hundreds of times, Maki opened his hands loosely around the iron ladder frame, relaxed his feet against the rungs, and speedily firemen flew down the ladder to the ship's core. The core was a 360-degree sterile white room filled with wrought iron file cabinets overflowing with more paper. The sight had always overwhelmed the little astronaut, to the point that he only came to this room when he absolutely needed to. Still, through the dizzying visions of disorganization, something out of the ordinary caught Marky's eye. Floating in the center of the room, much like the hologram that had appeared in his hand, was a holographic deposit box with a curious sign hanging above it, reading, "Insert here." Maki approached the hologram, opened his palm again, and placed the digital reports into the holographic box. As soon as he did, The static room roared to life in an explosion of more red and green colors. Dialogue screens appeared on the circular walls in an order. Routed, delivered, seen, approved, forwarded, signed, returned, stored. Marky stepped back.
What just happened?
You routed your completed reports through your command's new automated workflow system,
Andrew said.
The recipients were notified. They had approved the report, sent it for final signatures, and the completed documents were then stored once more in the cloud. No more monitoring emails and waiting on approvals and signatures.
All in a matter of moments, the little astronaut whispered, astoundedly. Then Andrew exclaimed,
My friend, I believe your work is done. Time to get you home. Now I'm no pilot, so I'll leave the next part in your capable hands. But should you need me, my aim is to be knowledgeable, trustworthy, and responsive. So just say something like, Hey, Keymark. Yeah, that should work. And I'll be here to help with whatever you need.
Thank you, Andrew!
Marky shouted aloud. With that, the suit's inner computer dialed down, allowing Marky to focus on his last mission, flying home. Marky scurried back up the ladder to the cockpit, where he grabbed the flight stick for manual operation. He turned his portable music player up to his favorite lo-fi Christmas channel, where Carol of the Bells played in full swing. Then he turned the Liberty hard towards Earth at full tilt. Marky was a two-hands-on-the-flight controls kind of explorer, meaning he knew the ins and outs of flight in a way that no RPA bot or automation ever could. He also knew that even with the amount of time protocol hyperautomation had saved him, he would still be hard-pressed to make it on-world in time for Christmas morning. Then he remembered another significant detail, something he had missed, and something that could jeopardize the success of his timely return. His favorite niece, Susie, was, as most kids are on Christmas, a very early riser.
Zounds!
Marky yelled, knowing that full speed would not be speedy enough. Marky had to think fast. Liberty needed more power, so he sprung into action, tying the sleeves of his old Class 1 spacesuit to the flight stick, locking it true to course. Then, taking a spare bag, Marky scooped up all the outdated paper reports and darted towards the ladder, sliding to the very bottom floor. The fuel room was deafeningly loud and hotter than anything Marky had ever felt. Marky opened the fuel depository and dumped the entire bag of paper documents into the engines. The documents ignited instantaneously, causing the engines to burst with an inferno rage of untapped energy. Liberty gained speed for a brief moment, and then resumed her previous pace. Frustrated, Marky wrapped his brain until he had another brilliant, albeit dangerous, idea. The cruiser would go faster if it lost a lot of weight. Marky made his way back to the core, speckled with its iron file cabinets and now flashing lights. Activating his suit scanner, the little astronaut made quick work of capturing all the old forms into digital formats. Then, holding on as tight as he could, Marky engaged the nearest emergency exit. The vacuum of space roared, sucking all matter but Marky out of the room and into the abyss.
A file cabinet hurled itself toward him, and he was forced to dodge, barely evading the lethal paperweight. When the last cabinet had flown out the hatch, Marky slammed the emergency exit shut and steadied himself on the floor. The Liberty was moving very fast indeed. Marky climbed the ladder once more and resumed his position at the helm, guiding the ship through the atmosphere and straight toward home. As Carol of the Bells ended, another more melancholy song took its place. I'll be home for Christmas.
I'll be home for Christmas, Susie,
he said aloud. The landing was rocky. Marky had to pull on the brakes and emergency flaps with all of his little might to slow the cruiser down as it swooped level to earth. After brushing trees, kissing chimneys, and love-tapping many rooftops, the cruiser Liberty, with its single passenger, the little astronaut Marky, came to a halt in the backyard of home. Marky exited the cruiser into the cold December air and stealthily entered the back door. He walked into the living room, where a great Norwegian spruce stood beautifully decorated, and where an even greater, jolly fellow of a man stood admiring it. The man turned to look at Marky, but the sudden change in temperature caused the little astronaut's helm to fog, obscuring all prominent features to both parties. Marky remained stuck in place, stunned, and overcome by a sense of spirit he'd not felt since childhood. After a long pause, he reached into a pocket and pulled out a tiny ore he had collected during one of his surveys. Marky extended it to the big man.
For Susie, he said, Mr. Claus.
What's this?
The big man said. He took the ore from the little astronaut and inspected it closely.
Coal?
He asked. Marky's heart sank. But then,
no,
the man continued. The big man put his glasses on and inspected the rock more closely. Then he proceeded to polish it with his white gloves. The ore glowed, capturing and absorbing every twinkling Christmas light around it, reflecting a spirit of Christmas.
No, he said. This is a genuine Christmas rock. You can't find these around here.
And he winked.
This is a very special gift, Marky. She will love it.
The man walked with heavy boots towards the chimney and placed the glowing space debris in a stocking marked S. Marky's visor was only just beginning to clear, revealing from behind the man's bright hat and white hair. The big man turned one final time.
Nice suit, by the way, he said jollily. Does it come in red?
Then he chuckled a warming belly laugh and said,
Merry Christmas, Marky!
And as the fog fully evaporated from the little astronaut's helmet, and he could finally see clearly, the big man had vanished.
Merry Christmas, Santa,
Marky said. He walked to the window and looked out to the stars above. At the same time, a host of reindeer pulling a jolly man in a large sleigh flew off into the night. Merry Christmas, indeed.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Orange Chair Podcast. We hope you enjoyed our automation theme story. The Orange Chair Podcast is brought to you by Keymark. Never miss an episode by subscribing to our podcast channel wherever you listen to podcasts. Don't forget that you can like and subscribe on Instagram and Facebook at the Orange Chair Podcast. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can send us an email at toc@keymarkinc.com. That's toc@keymarkinc.com.